From Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Wednesday, November 29th. Coming up, we'll learn about how wars overseas can still impact public health locally. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. Gun owners in Illinois have just a month left to register their semi-automatic firearms and high-capacity magazines that are restricted under a new state law. But as Mawa Iqbal reports, relatively few gun owners have complied thus far.
The deadline to register semi-automatic weapons is January 1st, but only about 4,000 people have registered some 7,800 guns with the state police as of Monday. That's out of about 2.4 million licensed gun owners in the state, though not all have the type that need to be registered. The law, which took effect earlier this year, prohibits the sale and possession of high-powered guns like the AR-15. But current owners can keep their guns as long as they are registered. Some owners have called the law vague, unconstitutional, and say they will not abide. I'm Mawa Iqbal.
The state is adding 48 small businesses to the Illinois Made program, including some right here in central Illinois. The initiative started in 2016 to promote locally owned businesses making authentic products that they say highlight the Illinois experience. Governor J.B. Pritzker says this round of businesses, or makers, is the largest and most diverse yet.
From popcorn to candles to hats to barbecue, the 2023 Illinois Made class is proof that ours is the best state for entrepreneurial innovation of all kinds.
The class includes businesses from all corners of the state. In central Illinois, the list includes the Fire Doll Artisan Chandlery, a candle shop in Champaign, Cloud Mountain Kombucha in Urbana, and Dell's Popcorn Shops in Decatur, Mount Zion, and Springfield. Nearly 300 businesses have been honored since Illinois Made began. State public health officials are urging Illinois lawmakers to declare that racism is a contributing factor to a public health crisis. Michael Puente reports.
People of color in Illinois have higher rates of heart disease, cancer, diabetes, and they're more likely to die from COVID. That's according to Illinois public health officials who held a virtual public hearing yesterday on a state health improvement plan. Lori Call is with the Illinois Department of Public Health.
People of color are also more likely to experience discrimination by healthcare providers, so increasing representation and cultural and linguistic competence in the public health workforce is vital.
As part of the Healthy Illinois 2028 initiative, the Department of Public Health and the State Board of Health have identified several priorities to improve health outcomes, which will be presented to the General Assembly by year's end. I'm Michael Puente.
The number of COVID-19 infections is going up in some parts of Illinois. While the risk in Chicago is currently low, health officials worry COVID numbers will soon rise there, too. Infectious disease doctor Mia Terumina of Dooley Health and Care says COVID numbers rose into the medium risk levels in 20 Illinois counties. She says this means it's only a matter of time until that happens in the Chicago area.
Once we go from low to that medium risk, we really need to consider what our health risks are, if we are up to date on vaccines, how vaccinated the folks that we're going to be enjoying the holidays with are, and you know what mitigation strategies we can put into place to try and make for some healthy, safe holidays.
Terumina says the best way to protect yourself from COVID is by getting the latest version of the vaccine. Still to come, we'll learn about how wars overseas can still impact public health locally. That story is coming up next on 217 Today.
The heroes of Royal Flying Doctor Service return to confront their most high-stakes trials yet in Season 2. This series is based on real-life events and it's set in the Australian outback. It's an action-packed drama full of incredible heroism and bravery. Friends of WILL can stream the Royal Flying Doctor Service Season 2 beginning November 23rd, ahead of its scheduled television debut. Find out how you can enjoy early access to some of PBS's most captivating shows by visiting will.illinois.edu/passport.
This is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. Hundreds of thousands of people have been killed in the Russia-Ukraine war, and now thousands more are dead and millions face a humanitarian crisis as Israel's war in Gaza rages on. But war doesn't just spread death by conflict. It can also kill by allowing diseases to spread with consequences that can cross borders. Side Effects Public Media's Farah Yousri spoke with health reporter Stephen Langell about that.
So what are some of the public health concerns related to these ongoing wars?
Well, war zones create environments that can lead to disease spread. For instance, day-to-day infrastructures are damaged during wars, so people are unable to normally use roads, transportation, and other resources they need to reach medical help. And there's also the physical danger associated with movement, so people may delay medical treatment when they need it, which can lead to long-term medical problems, but also can lead to the transmission of potentially drug-resistant infections. And Farah, some of the diseases public health experts are especially worried about are infectious diseases, which are contagious and spread rapidly between people, so things like measles and tuberculosis. Lawrence Kingsley is an infectious disease expert with the University of Pittsburgh. He says these diseases can be deadly.
Globally, the leading cause of death is infectious diseases. In the United States, it ranks something like number 3 or 4 behind heart disease, cancer.
He adds that transmission rates of measles is 90%, making it a particularly dangerous threat.
Okay, Stephen, so obviously these conflicts are happening thousands of miles away. Why should local communities in the Midwest worry about that?
Well, the obvious thing is travel. When people commute between the U.S. and these regions, this can cause diseases to spread. For example, in Northeast Ohio, where I'm based, there's a big Ukrainian refugee population. And it's too early to know if we're going to see a similar influx of people coming from the Middle East to the U.S., including to states in the Midwest. But then there's the local issue we're dealing with as well. Right now in the U.S., we're seeing the lowest vaccination rates among kindergartners in years. The CDC recently released data showing that vaccination rates dropped a whole percentage point this school year compared to before the pandemic. Then there's the newly released data from the CDC and the World Health Organization that showed something truly alarming. In 2022, the number of measles cases worldwide rose by 18%, and measles-related deaths were also up by 43% compared to 2021. Dr. Amy Edwards is an infectious disease specialist at UH Rainbow Babies and Children's Hospital. She says this is a perfect storm of issues.
So, for instance, if a person with incubating measles were to fly here from wherever and happen to be housed near other unvaccinated people, then yes, we could see an outbreak, absolutely.
Okay, Stephen, so the U.S. plays a role in providing aid to countries at war. A lot of it seems to be used for military purposes. Is the U.S. also doing enough to get ahead of disease outbreaks in these countries?
Well, the White House is asking for billions of dollars in aid, and part of it will go towards military purposes, but part of it is also set aside for humanitarian aid, which may include public health needs. However, there are many potential issues at play here that could be a problem. First, many lawmakers oppose aid to Ukraine. But even if the White House has the votes for the funding, some public health experts say the bill is not specific enough. They're calling for this legislation to mention exactly how the funds should be spent, or else they fear it may not actually get ahead of these potential crises overseas. Here's public health expert Dr. William Pewin.
After 18 months and multiple supplementals, that maxim about repeating the same action and expecting a different result comes to mind. Unfortunately, expressions of intent aren't sufficient.
So obviously, the answer shouldn't be that we do not accept refugees or, you know, people traveling from war-torn regions. So, Stephen, what do public health experts say that local communities should be doing?
Well, Farah, according to these experts, it's important to provide public health support for these populations through vaccination efforts and screenings. This also means that we need to ensure local public health departments have the resources to do that job. Infectious disease specialists also stress that there's a lot of work to be done locally when it comes to ensuring children are getting their full vaccination doses.
That was Side Effects Public Media's managing editor, Farah Yousri, speaking to reporter Stephen Langell. Side Effects Public Media is a health reporting collaboration of NPR member stations across the Midwest. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says today will be sunny with a high of 46 degrees. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Stephanie Mosqueda. Reporting today contributed by Mawa Iqbal, Alex Degman, Michael Puente, and Farah Yousri. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.